bless. He is risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, let's pray. God, we thank you on this special day that you are alive and that we have hope because of your resurrection from the dead. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each person here. Fill us with hope anew and courage because of this truth we proclaim. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, because Jesus is risen, we can live free from all fear. Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, we can live free from all fear. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, fear is a natural human emotion, but the problem becomes when we let fear weigh us down and begin to control our lives. We can let fear cause us to shrink back from all that God has for us, this abundant life of purpose and joy in Him. And we can let all kinds of fears weigh us down. We're afraid of what we see on the news. We're afraid of wars and rumors of wars. We're afraid of the violence that we see. We're afraid that we won't have enough. We're afraid that we won't have enough money, enough for retirement. We're afraid for our health. We're afraid for a bad diagnosis. We're afraid of each other. We're afraid of getting hurt. We're afraid of community. We're afraid of vulnerability. We're afraid of getting old. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of the afterlife. Is anybody feeling weighed down a little bit already? But the good news is Jesus Christ can set us free from all these fears. We can live free from them in his name. But the problem is people try to find ways to control life, to break free from these fears in other ways. People say, there's all this fear that I have. Well, what do I do? Well, I'll try to make more money. I'll exercise more. I'll protect myself and others. I'll try to control as much of my life as possible. But very quickly, we all learn there's actually very little we can control about our lives. And so it's best just to recognize that and say, I am not in control. That is not the way. And if we try to start controlling our fears will start controlling us. It just doesn't work. So what do we do? How do we live free from fear? Friends, it's simple. We place all our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the one who sets us free, enables us to live free from all fear. Because he is risen, we can live free from fear. Because he is risen, do not be afraid. I am convinced that Jesus Christ, who is alive, he wants every single one of you to live free from fear. And if the resurrection is true, then truly there is nothing to be afraid of. And this morning, I want to remind you of three fears Jesus frees us from: worldly powers, death, and the future. Let's start with number one. We do not fear the worldly powers, for Jesus has triumphed. I love the song we just sang. He rose with a victory over his foes. He has triumphed over them. Now, one of the things that people in the time of Jesus in Judea that they would have feared more than most things would have been the Roman Empire. We saw this in the events of Jesus' suffering, his passion as he walked to the cross. And those crowds that were shouting hosannas on that Palm Sunday, they hoped that Jesus would free them from their enemies, their conquerors. They saw Roman soldiers walking their streets around their community. But if the Romans, if they got whiff of anyone challenging their power or their authority like some other kind of king, they had to stamp that out. The cross was meant to put challengers down. It was meant to create fear. Fear us, fear our power, fear what we could do to you, so therefore you can submit to our authority. This is often what the worldly powers do. They'll hit you as hard as they can in the hopes that you'll surrender and give up. And certainly many in Jesus' day, they lived in fear of the Roman Empire, their conquerors. And it seemed that Jesus' death gave them one more reason to be afraid. Look what they can do even to Jesus. But we know his death on the cross was not the end of the story. If you're someone who likes to follow along in the scriptures, we're picking up the story in Matthew 20, 27. You can turn in your Bibles there. Jesus has died on the cross. Many women were watching this event closely. They're able to verify and testify to all that happened. A man named Joseph takes Jesus' body, places it in a tomb, rolls the heavy stone in front of the tomb. And the next day, the chief priests, the Pharisees, they go to Pilate, the Roman governor, and they warn him, hey, Jesus predicted that he would die and rise again. They want to ensure that this movement of Jesus stays down. And so they ask Pilate to give the order to secure the tomb. Verse 65. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting guard. So the Roman and religious leadership, they have collaborated again to not only kill Jesus, but to keep him to keep him in the tomb, if they can. And it leads me to ask, well, who is afraid of who here? Right? Vainly, they secure this tomb. Make the tomb as secure as you know how, perhaps with some type of physical restraints. They posted a guard, and also they probably had some type of seal on the stone so that only someone with the authority and power could open that seal, and if someone tampered with it, they would know that someone without the authority tried to open this tomb. If that's the case, this is exactly like what happened to Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den. In fact, I had this up for you from Daniel chapter 6. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. The worldly powers want to stay in control. They don't want Jesus' situation to be changed. They want him to stay dead. But vainly, they secure the tomb. At this point, though, we don't know that Jesus has been raised in Matthew's story. And so it begs the question, who has more power and authority here? Jesus. Yeah. Amen. That's my son. You got the right answer, bud. You all know the answer. But we hold it out. Rome, with its crucifying power and authority to seal the tomb, or will Jesus of Nazareth triumph over them? Go into chapter 28. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. This heavy stone, secured by the strength and authority of Roman and religious power, is easily rolled away. The stone, friends, being rolled away doesn't just tell us that Jesus is alive again. It also tells us that he has triumphed over the worldly powers. Vainly they secured his tomb. And the victory of Jesus, it's so total and complete and so easy, like it gets comical. But what happens in verse 3, it says, the angel's appearance was like lightning, his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, if Matthew was like texting the story to his buddies, I imagine at this point, if he like sent this text to them, he might put up an emoji like this. The guards became like dead men. You guys get it? Or maybe he put it something like this, like, they became like dead men. The guards have become like dead men, while the dead man is now alive. Do you see the reversal? It's amazing. And the angel says to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Now, angels have to tell people all the time, don't be afraid, because their appearance was so glorious and majestic and powerful. Certainly, that's an element here. But I think also it's possible to hear that these women are encouraged not to fear the worldly powers as well. The angel says, don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. The most fearsome thing that could happen to people in their day. Don't be afraid of what the worldly powers can do. He is not here, he is risen. I know that you have risked something to be here. You are looking for a man who was killed by the Roman powers. You are looking for a criminal. You are doing something that is dangerous. You are putting your own life at risk for being here, but do not be afraid. Jesus has risen, just as he said. The seal was broken, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus has been raised. The worldly powers did everything they could to keep Jesus down, but they could not win. Jesus has completely triumphed over them. Therefore, friends, we do not fear the worldly powers whatsoever. There are many Christians around the world celebrating the hope of this resurrection under threat of worldly powers. There are people gathering underground to celebrate the resurrection. There are people meeting at odd hours of the day, locked doors, windows closed, because they're under threat of what the worldly powers might do. But they gather anyway in the name of Jesus to celebrate the hope of the resurrection. And they don't fear what the worldly powers can do to them. We also may carry fears as well. Many fear the use of worldly power, whether it's our own military using worldly power or other global superpowers. We see this stuff going on in the world, and we can be afraid. We fear those. Jesus said, you know, the Gentiles, they lord their power over you. They lord it over you. We might fear those with power or weapons or authority of all kinds. But the resurrection shows us that even if they do their worst, they can't win. They are fighting a losing battle. I love Psalm 118, verse 6 through 7. I think it means even more in light of the resurrection. It says this: "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies." Oh, friends, in light of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus is with us. We will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to us? Nothing. In fact, Jesus will help us, and through his resurrection, we will one day stand in his complete victory. So we do not fear the worldly powers, for Jesus has triumphed. That's number one. Number two, we do not fear death, for Jesus has conquered. For Jesus has conquered. The angel says, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Now, Jesus had predicted this would happen. It's one thing to predict your own death, which would be amazing in and of itself. It's quite another thing to predict your own resurrection. Wouldn't you agree? So our confidence grows, and our fears give way. Because when the Lord Jesus speaks, it comes to pass. What Jesus said about himself is true. So we can live in a bold obedience, a bold confidence in our Lord, because we follow a king who always backs up what he says. He will follow through on all of his promises. And the angel says to the women, "Come and see the place where he lay." Now, we know Jesus walked upon the earth 40 days after his resurrection, appearing to people. And he appears into the locked room where the disciples are meeting. So Jesus can appear in places. Apparently he can go through walls or doors. That doesn't matter in his resurrected state. So R.T. France, a scholar, points out that the stone was rolled away from the tomb not so that Christ could emerge. He did not need the stone removed. The stone was rolled away so that the women and others could see the tomb was empty. The stone was rolled away for our sakes, that we would see he truly is risen from the dead. His body is not there. He is resurrected. And Jesus knew that the women, the other disciples, and us would need the evidence of an empty tomb to confirm their faith and so that they could boldly go proclaim it to the world. "He is not here. Come and see the place where he lay. He is risen." So therefore, he has conquered death, and he can open the gates of eternal life for all who would believe and trust in his name. Now, we live in a culture that we don't like to think about death very much. We keep death out of our minds. You know, the cemeteries aren't by the church anymore. It's somewhere else. Like, we don't think about death. We don't like to think about death. I think deep down, we're afraid of it. We don't like it. And we do so much to keep it out of our minds, out of our culture. You know, last week I was with some friends and the topic came up. If you just had 1 week left to live, what would you do? And it was a striking question because I don't think about that often. What would you do? Sometimes I think about that moment of what will it be like when I pass from this life to the next? Will I be scared? Will I be conscious of it? Will I have live the life that I wanted to live? I imagine how final that moment will feel, how frightening it could be. Yet, friends, even as we face the prospect of our own death, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He has risen. He has risen. And because Jesus has risen, friends, Christians, we do not fear death. We don't fear it. It can fill us with fear. We can be awed by the prospect of it, but we ultimately do not fear it because we've been given a confidence to boldly live and die in the Lord. It's why Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What you do for Jesus will last forever because he is risen from the dead. So live without fear. Live with boldness for him. Live in confidence of what he's done. We do not fear death, for Jesus has conquered. And finally, we do not fear the future, for Jesus has gone ahead of us. The angel says to the women, go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. And Jesus, again, he told them that this is what he would do, that after he was crucified and risen, he would go ahead of his disciples and meet them there in Galilee. He would lead them to what's next. And so the women, they hurry away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, they ran to tell his disciples. These women, they are a great example of discipleship. They feel that fear, they're afraid, but they don't let their fear control them. They are yet filled with joy, and they run to go tell the disciples. Man, how often when the Lord tells us to do something, we like walk or crawl, him and ha. It's like when parents say, kids, it's time for bed. You know, just, okay, what? The stairs are that way. You know, like, what are we doing? But these women, they run. They run to obey the Lord. What an image of our own discipleship. And suddenly on their way, in their way of obedience, they meet Jesus. Greetings, he said. And they came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worship him. Again, what an image of our own discipleship. And then Jesus tells them, do not be afraid. Perhaps in part because of his resurrected appearance, but also Jesus wants them to live free from fear as well. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. And Jesus leads his disciples back to Galilee. He goes ahead of them. And we know from there he's going to commission them to go make disciples, to baptize them. And he's going to promise his presence will be with them. Friends, Jesus is always our leader. He is always ahead of us. And just as he goes ahead of his disciples here through his death and resurrection, he has gone all the way ahead of us. He has finished his race. He went through death. He came out the other side. And now he prepares a place for us. And because he has gone first, we don't have to fear anything. Now, how many of you have had the privilege of having an older sibling? How many? Okay, I'm a middle child. How many middle children in here? God bless you. God bless you. You have to deal with the teasing of your older sibling and the annoyance of your younger sibling at the same time. And my theory is you come out as a very, you know, solid human being by the end, because a mature human being, because you've had to deal with both. But one of the nice things about having an older sibling is that they had to go first. They were, yeah, Luke, you got it, buddy. You were your parents' first baby. The older sibling was your parents' first baby. Thank God it was somebody else. This is their trial run. They don't know what they're doing. How many times did they drop you? Oh, my goodness. By the time number two comes around, they know so much more. Your older sibling, they're the first one to go on a scary roller coaster. They're the first one. My brother was the first one to date a girl, to drive a car, to do all this scary stuff. But you know what? When you have an older sibling, it's like, well, if my older brother can do it, then... oh, then I can do it too. I can do it too. You see that in kids. When they see their older sibling do something, they're like, yes, I can do that too. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is our elder brother. He has gone first. He has gone all the way through death, through his resurrection. And so therefore, we can follow him wherever he leads. As Paul said, in Christ. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In this life and into the next, we follow our Lord Jesus Christ because he has led the way. As the psalmist said, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And so we can walk this life of faith, no matter what the future might hold, because Jesus has gone ahead of us, and because Jesus is with us. So brothers and sisters, there is nothing to fear. Do not fear the worldly powers. Do not fear death. Do not fear the future. You know, on Monday night, there was a very severe thunderstorm. Did you all hear that storm on Monday night? My family and I, we like left our friend's house and we drove like in the hardest part of the storm. It was truly terrifying. There was lightning everywhere. The thunder was extremely loud. It was downpouring on the highway. And my daughter was scared and was saying, this is so scary. But we told her, you know what? Being in the car is like one of the safest places you can be. We're not going to be touched in here. We're okay. Don't be afraid. We're going to get you home. Friends, on this Easter Sunday, I want you to hear the voice of Jesus Christ calling out to you. No matter what storm is going on in the world, no matter what storm you might be going through in your own life, do not be afraid. When you are with him, you are safe. He will lead you all the way. You will always be safe with Christ. For the one who believes in him, even though they die, they live. If you are in Christ, the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Therefore, do not fear. Do not fear. Let Joshua 1:9 be a charge to you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The risen Lord Jesus, friends, is with you wherever you go. Now go live boldly as a lion. Go proclaim his risen life. Live free from fear. Live free from discouragement. For he is risen. Amen. I'm not going to invite the choir up to come proclaim this faith.